Better, I took it off speaker.
Yeah, that's better.
That's better.
Can you hear us?
I can hear.
Through the WebEx?
No, not through the WebEx.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mary Lou, go ahead and start the hearing.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. This hearing is for petition E-140-23. The appellant is Michael Finn and parcel number is 1-2098-102-0008-002. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their evaluation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Good morning. This is a residential petition, so we usually allow about a half an hour for this. So the first 10 minutes, we'd like to hear from you, Mr. Finn, and then we'll hear from the assessor. We'll have a few minutes of questions, and then we'll adjourn and deliberate as a board. So you may proceed.
Okay, thank you. You know, initially I thought the $80,000 was way too high. I think it's a undue burden for, you know, everything I've got to pay. And after receiving the assessor's report, I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback from myself. After getting the assessor's, copy, I looked at the comparisons of the houses that are on page 3 and 4. Those houses have been in my neighborhood. They've been sold many times, and each time they've been updated. My house has not been updated. In order for me to bring it up to the fair market value, I would have to put probably $80,000 into it because I haven't done anything to it since we moved in, as far as fixtures, toilets, floors, doors. I do have a door. Scheduled to be put in from Perfection Glass, and that, you know, that's $5,000 just for the sliding glass door. But I did put on a patio in the back, but we've been, you know, trying to put money updates, but maintenance has overtaken the cost, so roof, paint, stuff like that. And so with no building permits, I did put in a new hot water tank here a couple of years ago. I had it put in, but I don't think that it's a true and fair value of raising it that much, because I don't think I could get that much out of it. We're still on the septic system. And Keene Road, where I live, if you're not doing 60 miles an hour, they're gonna push you right off the road. And in between the stoplight down here at Rupert Road and Queensgate stoplight, it's like a quarter mile drag track for people trying to gain position. The police don't do anything. And when the traffic's slower, it's not loud. They did have some construction and the traffic was down to 25 or 30 and you couldn't even hear it. But when it's at 55 and 60, you can hear the tire speed. I think that alone has devalued it. I'm looking at page 8 where it says true and fair value, highest and best use. I don't think that my house is at the highest and best use for this assessment. So that the increased value is not what I feel, and I know with the supply and demand, things have gone up. I don't think I could sell this house and buy a new house. I mean, I think I'm being taxed on new house values. I don't have that new infrastructure, the new roads, the new sewer systems and water systems to go along with a new house. I think it's unfair.
I think we understand your position at this point. Let's hear from the assessor and have them explain it.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so the assessor's determination of value is $355,740 with an effective date of January 1st of 2023. The appellant states he has not done any improvements to the property, and then there's the road traffic there off of Keene Road where it's loud and it's fast like a freeway. So I can confirm that the assessor's office has valued the subject property with a 3 condition rating. And so that means that the home is being assessed and is depreciated according to it being what is expected of a 31-year-old home that still has, you know, all the original components. You're going to expect it's going to have deferred maintenance and obsolescence that comes along with being a home that's over 3 decades old. And understanding your concerns regarding, being near Keene Road there, I understand that is something, it's a neighborhood influence. And so with neighborhood influences, we look at the market sales within that area to see what is the impact on the market because of that influence. So the comparable sales that we shared are in that neighborhood and they reflect, what is that impact? So when we look at the comparable sales here that we provided, all the comparables, they sold for well above the subject's 2023 assessed value. And that's mainly because, we're taking into consideration the condition of the subject. So like you said, you probably would have to put in an $80,000 to bring it up to kind of what these other homes are selling for, because they're selling for over $400,000, close to $500,000. So we did take that into account when assessing your property, which is why we're not assessing it at over, close to these sales for, in the high 400s. Comparable number one here, it is the subject's neighbor. And so it's a similar age and size, and it sold for $475,000 in 2022. So the subject is valued by $120,000 below this comparable sale due to that lower condition rating. But again, it's those comps are impacted by the same influences of Keene. And what we've been seeing in the market is we've had such strong growth in the prices over the past few years because of that demand for housing that buyers aren't, they weren't able to be as choosy when it came to what properties they were looking for. So those types of neighborhood influences with traffic and things like that, that you think would normally have an effect, we just didn't really see that.
Jennifer, could you speak to the negative adjustments on grid condition for comps 1, 2, and 3 to help him understand that he says that they're been updated each time they're being sold?
Right. And it's typical, right, for sellers, it's typical for them to make updates to the home when they go to sell it because they want to get that top dollar. So we have here with this sales, you'll notice the condition ratings are 4s and 5s. And so that is us acknowledging that, yes, those homes have been updated. While yours remains at a condition 3, because you haven't made those updates. So we do take into account and we adjust for that to show that, okay, like for comp 1, it sold for $475,000. But we deducted that premium for the maintenance of that home to bring your adjusted value at the bottom there to $351,750, which is more in line with what you would expect for your home that hasn't had, has everything pretty much original.
Yeah, I've watched all these homes sell over the years, and like comp 2, that home just sold again. A lady bought it a year ago, but the original owner put an addition on, quite a substantial addition, and upgrades throughout. If I was to do something to that effect, it would cost me a lot of money to be comparable to that house.
And isn't that what the negative $130,000 we see there is? They're subtracting $130,000 because you haven't done those kind of improvements. Is that, am I understanding that correctly, guys?
That's correct. Yes. And then when it comes to additions, you see their square footage is a bit higher. So that's taken into account as well. So those differences, we do account for those. So while that home sold for $496,000 in 2022, we, in comparison to that home, we would say your home would likely have sold for $354,650. When you account for those differences.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's above my head. but I do kind of understand what you're saying.
But so they have a total.
The way I look at it, if I was to bring it up to that price, it would cost me that much money, you know, in order for me to sell and get that out of it.
That is reflected in the comp grid. If we're still looking at comp 2, for example, it sold for $496,000, but we have you at $355,000. So if you look at comp 2 and go, okay, well, if I put in, $130,000, even more than the $80,000 that you were estimating, that's what it takes to bring your value up to what their sale price is. But we don't adjust the subject, we adjust the comparable. So we are adjusting them to be as comparable to you as possible at that point. And it matches what you said, putting in $80,000 to $100,000 of work on your home would probably get you close to those sales prices, but that's why you're about $100,000, $120,000 less than those sale prices.
Yeah, but the $80,000 in raise in 1 year is a lot for me. That's going to be another $800 a year in taxes that I'm going to have to pay. And with the school levies, I understand what you're saying, but it seems like a big jump.
Yeah, I understand. A lot of people have that concern because they see that large increase, percentage increase year over year. And with that, we're not saying that the market increased at that rate. What it was is, you know, it's been several years. We do revaluations once every 6 years. We do physical inspections once every 6 years, where we set the data and the land values at that time. And then the five subsequent years, we do trending. So what we're saying is, since COVID, the market has increased over 30%, but the home values in your area, they had been lagging behind the market so long that this year we had, because we're held accountable to the state to value everything at 100% of the market. So those values have been lagging behind the market for so long that we had to bring them up to the market value. So we saw large increases this year across the county because the market was so, it peaked in 2022. When you look at your taxes, I understand, you know, your value's been increasing every year, but your taxes only, due to that increase, your taxes only increase about $500 year over year, even though that your assessed value, you said it increased about $80,000.
Yeah, well, I think it equals $74,000.
Yeah, so your value went up $74,000, but your taxes haven't been raising every year. And it's not a proportionate assessed value increases 30%, that means your taxes are going to increase 30%. It doesn't work that way. It's not a proportionate increase. I've seen it where assessed values increase, but the taxes actually decrease. And that's because of certain levies that are voted in, how the levy rates are set, and how the budgets are set. There's a lot of variables that feed into what the tax total will be. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I guess my point is my taxes haven't raised like that year after year.
Yeah, they fluctuate. In 2019, it was about 2,500, and then 2020 went up to 28, and it just fluctuates a couple $100.
Right, but $80,000 in 1 year is a large fluctuation.
Yeah, this was a $500 increase for you from about 2,800 to 3,300.
Well, Mr. Fenn, one way to look at it is you've been getting a tax break for the last 4 or 5 years, right? Because they were undervaluing your house.
I don't know if it's considered a tax break because isn't it based off true and fair market value?
Right, but what they're saying is they had been undervaluing your house for the past several years, is what she's saying, because they hadn't done a physical inspection of the neighborhood. So they're bringing it up now that they're inspecting the neighborhood and looking at all the comparable sales. They see that your house was valued way below market value, and that's why the 1 year jump. It used to be much worse. Several years ago, they would only, you would see it kind of bump along for 5 years, and on the sixth year, it took a huge jump. And so they've tried to get away from that, and that's why they're doing the monthly annual trending, and then a market adjustment every 6 years. So theoretically, next year, you won't see anything like this.
Yeah, well, it's a burden. I could see it going up a little bit, maybe even half that, but because of the way housing is going right now.
Right. But unfortunately, you haven't provided us anything. You've given us some anecdotal evidence, but you haven't provided anything to support the value you requested on your petition.
Well, I could have went and got a assessment, I guess, but I thought, you know, you guys would see $80,000 jump as being significant also.
Well, we've been seeing that around across the county, though. I mean, my house went up substantially too. I think Peter's went up, Chuck's went up. I mean, we've all experienced the same thing.
And, well, but you, and if
it's
you
not
look
like you're being singled at, out.
Building permits, you can see that I haven't had any. I did have a replaced a fence. My fence blew down and I replaced it with a block wall, trying to alleviate some of the noise.
I think we understand your position, Mr. Finn, but so, Peter, Chuck, do you guys have any questions for Mr. Finn?
I don't. Thank you.
No, I don't either.
Any closing comments from the assessor?
No additional comments. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Finn, I think we understand your position. So at this point, I'd like to close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. This hearing is for petition E-142-23. The appellant is Jeanette Mitchell with parcel number 1-0689-202-0000-055. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. The appellant does not appear to be present. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
Yeah.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of this decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential hearing. The appellant is not present, so I'll read from her petition the specific reason she believes the assessor's value does not reflect the true market value. She states, comparable homes in the area remain in the range of $375,000 to $400,000. The assessed value to be 100% of these inflated sales values in our region is deplorable given the economic inflation citizens are experiencing. She provides no comparable sales and no additional evidence to support her requested valuation. So let's hear from the assessor.
Yes, the assessor's determination of value is $440,360 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant stated that the comparable homes in their area were within the range of $375,000 to $400,000. With the comparables that we saw in the area for the sales in 2021 and 2022, the comparable sales were within the range of $420,000 to $467,000. The subject's assessed value then falls within the middle of this range. With when you look at comps 1 and 2, they're most similar in size, age, quality, and location, and they sold for $435,000 and $440,000 back in 2021. And then comparable number one also resold in 2023 for $469,000. So that just shows you kind of that increase in the market still. So the assessed value for the subject is well in line with those sales of the most similar homes right in that immediate subdivision there. I don't know where the range where the appellant found came up with the 375 to 400, but based off of what we're seeing, it had increased to 420 to 467 based on the 2021 and 2022 sales.
So you say 420 to 467,000?
Yeah, when you look at our comparables there, that's kind of that range of what homes sold for. And then, so the assessed value, I mean, it's falling within that range.
Okay. And I note that the assessed value is a little bit below the median grid estimate. Quick question on grid estimate. Is the grid estimate just based on these six comps or all sales in the...
Correct. It's just based on those. So it's not okay. It's not the sole determining factor in determining the assessed value because we appraise according to mass appraisal. So we have our larger data set, statistical data set that has that normal bell curve distribution. So this is just more of a more... honing in on the specifics to this subject, more akin to like a fee appraisal, just to ensure that the assessed value is kind of falling within that range. So you don't want to focus too much on the median because it can be affected. Like for instance, in this case, these 2021 sales are in here. So that's going to drag down the median. So it ranges. It just provides another look at what would be an expected range? Does it make sense on where it's falling? Does it seem like it's an outlier? And you know, when we do review these, if we do see that, whoa, we're coming in way off, you know, we will take a closer look to see, are we missing anything? And we'll make corrections mm-hmm. as necessary. But yeah, for that grid estimate, that's just based on these six comparables. It's not to be used as an end-all, be-all final value. It just gives you another frame of reference when you're looking at, okay, is assessed value falling in line with kind of where you would expect it to? So it may fall. Sometimes assessed value is arriving above this median, sometimes below. But again, it's based on the data that's being used.
Okay. Peter, Chuck, any questions?
No.
Not for me.
Okay. I have nothing. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing and then we'll deliberate. By the way, before we go, based on her comments, I'm sort of wondering if she might also be eligible for the senior exemption program. Could you send her an email as well?
Of course, we'll do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Lou, before we go, when you're ready for the next one, would you mind messaging me? Chris needs to step out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
What time does the next one start?
I have 10:45.
10:45. Okay. So we have an hour.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, wow.
Right now. Good morning. This is a BOE hearing. This hearing is for petition E-150-23. The appellant is Matthew Edwards with parcel number 1-1689-303-0000-002. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Appellant, do you have your right hand raised?
Yes.
Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
I do.
Yes.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
Okay, this is a residential petition. We allow about half an hour for this. The first 10 minutes, we'd like to hear from the appellant. Then we'll give the assessor about 10 minutes. We'll have a few minutes of questions and back and forth, and then we will adjourn the hearing and deliberate. So, Mr. Edwards, you may proceed.
As you received information, the adjacent properties that are being developed, it's under the presumption that these will not, according to your paperwork, devalue the property in any way. It says this in your answer to real property petition. How is that determined is a question I have, because it has been my research that shows that gas stations, convenience stores, which are going to be located close to this property, apartment complexes generally do reduce property values due to increased traffic, noise, and construction.
Okay, well, the assessment date was as of January 1st, 2023. So as of that date, none of what you're describing had occurred. And
correct,
so
and has been,
right, it may occur in the future, may occur at some point in the future, and at that point, the assessor will determine whether at that point the those factors you describe affect property values. But as of January 1st, 2023, they're not seeing an effect.
Well, that sounds like a presumption. That's my statement.
Okay.
And that's
well,
a matter of fact.
Let's hear from the assessor and let them, it's up to them to explain that.
But I also have some, I do have some other questions, and it has to do with the comparables.
Okay.
In the verbiage, this is not a cost approach value. This looks like it's a market approach or a mass appraisal technique. I'm not seeing any home that's exactly like this one. That's like, I see comparable, which is not like mine. And I'm also asking, in the verbiage, it talks about arm's length or what area that you're using to use your assessment for comparables, because the only comparables I see are on my street. Is that, can you help me understand what the area
yeah,
is?
We'll let the assessor explain that.
Okay. That was my other, because I'm trying to look at other property, not property value, but actual structure value. I don't see that broken down in your comparables. I just see a total value. I don't see a structure value.
Right. And there's a reason for that. You know, when you buy your house or sell your house, you sell it for a given price. right? And there's no differentiation in there between land and buildings. And so with the assessor, go ahead.
But there is when you assess it, though.
Right, and that's what I was getting to. So what the assessor, well, they can explain it further, but what the assessor does is assign a land value. And what you'll find for all properties of a given size, you'll find that the land value tends to be the same in a given area. So what remains is the building and structure value. Now they can make land value zero, but that would just cause your improvements in building value to go up because the total is still the total. So however you differentiate between those two numbers, the total is still the total.
Okay, well then I could make the argument that a property in Benton County that has 5 acres with equal value would have a different structure value. Is that correct then?
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Okay, well, if I'm going to look for a comparable with square footage, then I could use any property regardless of.
Well, it has to be of similar type. In other words, if you have a one-story house, you have to compare it against other one-story houses and as close as possible to the subject residence, to the subject property.
Well, that's just, to me, it just sounds like a lot of ambiguity. It just depends on the property. Just because what it looks like to me is I'm being assessed by a demographic just because it's my street. But I guess my question is, how big of an area can I use for comparables?
We like to see it under a mile.
Like to see it, or because I couldn't find anything in this RCW that talked about what the area actually was. There was nothing in there that talked about it.
Again, closer is better. But I mean, we've seen people try to compare their house in downtown Richland to properties in Benton City or Findlay or other areas. And I hope you can see in that case that that's just not an appropriate comparison. So
I understand your position, but it is for the home. It is reasonable for the homeowner who's paying the higher taxes. Are we working for the people? If you're going to say if that's your stance, then you're not working for the people. You're working for the demographics of an area that's going to result in the highest tax.
Well, we're not in the taxes business. We're in the valuation business. Taxes are set by the legislature and the county and the cities and other things.
It's based off of what you just said as an assessed value. So
right. So yes, that is a factor.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just my question, these are more questions, is where are these numbers and what's the value, what's the area? Because I couldn't find that anywhere in the RCW.
Okay. Well, why don't we let the assessor explain that then?
Okay.
So Jennifer.
So, with the assessor's determination, the value is $548,620 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. Understanding your questions on how we come to our evaluations, we use a hybridized approach where we look at the land sales. So we kind of build each property record from the bottom up. So we look at what are the land sales in the area, where they're falling. We had established the land values. Then on top of that, we add on the structures. So with the structures, there are different varying characteristics that we have determined that drive that value. So that would be square footage. It would be things like the type of exterior covering, the roof covering, HVAC systems, if it's a baseboard heating versus central AC, the number of plumbing fixtures, the number of bathrooms in a home. So there are various characteristics that each property record is built upon based off of what those characteristics are for that property. And that gives us our improvement value that's the structure value. So the structure plus the land value, that together creates kind of like a base value for a property. From there, from the cost approach and the sales of the land, we also look at the sales of the comparable properties in the area. And so on top of that base value of the improvement plus the land, we add an adjustment for the market. So whether the market is trending upward or downward, we adjust that market adjustment to trend with the market. And because the assessed value is established on that first day of the assessment year, so your 2023 assessed value is as of January 1st of 2023. We do not predict, we've had a lot of people call and say, I couldn't sell my home for this today because the interest rates are increasing. I know that was a concern of yours. That 2023 assessed value is of the January 1st, and we don't predict values. We look at historical data. We operate 1 year behind the market. So we looked at previous year's data. So we looked at 2021 and 2022 with more weight on the 2022 because that was more relevant within that time frame of January 1st, 2023. So those market adjustments. So once every 6 years, we'll do a physical inspection. We'll drive through the neighborhood, see if anything's changed. We'll update the land value at that time, bring it up to market value. We update our cost tables for these structures. And again, we'll look at the sales to see, is there a market adjustment that's required to bring those base values that we're working with up or down with the market. And then in those 5 subsequent years, when we're not physically out in your neighborhood, we're relying on just strictly that statistical trend. So we have your base value, but every year we look at, okay, what's happening with the market there? Is it going up? Is it going down? And again, we just follow behind and we just mirror what that trend is. I hope that explains kind of the process there. When it comes to those negative influences that are a concern of yours with all the building developments, with the townhomes and the proposed apartment complex, again, we don't speculate what is going to happen. We look at what actually sold within the previous years. Where were market homes sitting in those previous years? That's the data we use because that's based off of the reaction of the market. So with that, further down the line, if those developments, if we do start to see an impact in the market sales data, we'll trend with that. But as of what we have seen up until January 1st, 2023, is the values have continued to increase. We had just such an unprecedented market the past several years after COVID with price growth that a lot of things that typically you would think would affect market values, the market outpaced it. It was just such a strong market. And especially when it comes to those neighborhood influences, there's such a high housing demand. There isn't enough supply that, people would pay anything just to get into a house. And so that competition that you would see, would show that some of those neighborhood influences didn't really have much of an impact. People were just lucky to get what they could find.
Right. But those, the development here has not been completed. I understand. And thank you for that description. I guess I still go back to the demographic of the area. Is it the house structure and the
square footage? Okay. So with comparable sales, you want to look for homes that are most similar to yours in age and style, the type of home, one story versus a 2-story. Want to look at ones that are similar in location, because that's more relevant to you. A home, let's say your neighbor next door was exactly the same as your house and they sold, and then a house that's exactly like yours that is over in Benton City sold. The best comparable would be your neighbor because they have the same influences in the same market as your home. It's location, location, location. So that would be the best comparable. Now, when it comes to sales, sometimes you do need to branch out past that mile, marker, and go further out and look at similar neighborhoods in a different area in the county. And that's when sales are limited and we really have nothing to really work with to get an idea of the full picture. So we have to expand either the location, or maybe we need to expand into, you know, maybe older homes and then make those adjustments. But the best comparables are going to be ones of similar size, age, quality, type of home in your immediate area. And from what we found in our comparable sales grid is on your street along there, there are several sales of similar aged homes. Comp one, it's a bit smaller than your home, but it's the same age and it's the same location right there, same quality rating. And in 2022, it sold for $550,000. And then comparables two and three, they're larger than your home. But those two, they border, they overlook that building site where there was townhomes are under construction. Yet those still sold for in the mid to high 600s. Now they're larger than your home, so we don't have you valued, you know, to that level. But comparable one is most like your home. And with that, you're falling in line with that that sale right there. And we made those adjustments to account for those differences and square footage.
Comp four is actually closer.
Okay, so comp four sold in for $427,920.21. With comps four through six, these are 2021 sales. And these are included, and they help demonstrate that from 2021 to 2022, there was a market increase because those homes were selling for, you know, in the 400s, this one here in the low 600s. But then once you get into 2022, now they've pushed into the 500s and the high 600s. So that shows that increase. So that comp four that sold for 427, the assumption because of the market trend in that area is it would have sold for more in 2022. Because from 2020 to 2022, our market, we saw over 30% increase in home values. So as of during first 2023, we didn't see any negative influences to the home prices in that area as of that date. But every year we look at the sales data and we do another analysis to see, you know, is anything changing? You know, how do we need to trend for the new year? So for this year, for your 2024 assessed value, we are going to look at the 2023 sales to see how we need to trend to follow the market.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not selling my house, and it looks like the verbiage shows what would be reasonable that somebody would pay for that house, and I paid 407. unfortunately, my income has gone down, and it's not commensurate with the increase in the property taxes. That's why I'm appealing this, because my income doesn't match the increase in the property tax value, so... So what's reasonable to pay for this house for me was 407.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry. A lot of people are feeling that pain, especially now. But the assessed value is just one contributing variable into determining what the taxes due are. There are other variables with, you know, with how the taxing districts set their budgets, what levies are voted in. There are other contributing factors. All the assessed value does is it just ensures that everybody's paying their piece of the pie. If I had the power to cut everybody's assessed value by 50%, but let's say the budgets and levies and all that remain the same, what was voted in for those budgets, you know, people would still pay the same amount of taxes. All it does is it just carves out what every property owner, what their piece of that pie is.
Right. And that's my point about when I did the research on structure, that's why I asked property from structure. When I look at structure of this typical square footage, regardless of area in the Benton County, that's why I asked what's the area. I didn't see this value in the other properties?
So if you're looking across the county, you're going to see varying market adjustments, because every neighborhood has a different market adjustment based off of the sales that are relevant to that area. There's also different revaluation areas. So
I stop you right there.
But
at that point, then you're taxing people based on a demographic, not the actual structure of the home. And that was just in the middle that
No, we are taxing them based off of your property record is built up based off of the characteristics specific to your property. Then we look at the area of comparables within your area based off of what the market is, how it's behaving. So we are valuing you based off of on the market and for your specific characteristics. If you had an additional 1,000 square feet, your value would be higher. You'd be taxed on those larger characteristics of your property.
Regardless of location, or is that separate?
No, we look at location of similar homes within an area.
Okay.
So we're not going to compare you to a 2,000 square foot home in Benton City. They have different influences. They have different amenities.
What do you mean influence? What do you mean by influence?
It's a different market. Location. Is it close to schools? Is it in a flood zone? Is it near access to, places where people work? Is it easy commute? You know, there's different influences in every neighborhood. And we do mass appraisal, so we don't get into the nitty gritty of that. But all of that is baked into the market sales data that we see. So for your homes, let's say these townhomes, do hit the sales in your immediate area there, that will be shown in the market sales because they won't be able to sell for as high. We'll see those numbers. And so we're like, we've been trending upward. Maybe we need to trend downward. But it's still too early to tell at this point.
Right. That's my question about the presumption of it going up there. But thank you for explaining back to 2021, and there was that jump in 2022-23, and that does show in your comparables. But that, I guess my point is there's too much growth right here in a negative direction, from my opinion, with gas station, convenience store, traffic, commercial property being across the street, even just to the south, or looking at another commercial, which is probably the most direct influence to me.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial. So
could I ask a question? I'm having trouble in my head recognizing where this house is. I see on the picture Southridge Boulevard and a roundabout, but I don't know where I'm looking.
It's in South Kennewick, behind Thompson Hill. Between Thompson Hill and the freeway.
Okay, on the picture that I'm seeing, I see Southridge Boulevard. Where is Southridge High School on this picture?
Well, it's on Southridge Boulevard, but
I know
it's a little further down. I think it's a little further down.
Chuck, it's Southridge High School is just north of that. So that Ridgeline Drive and 36th Avenue, that's where the high school sits, just north of that 36th Avenue.
North of that. Okay.
All right. It's just out of the picture.
And this Ridgeline Drive, is that where they put in this big new intersection on 395?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks. I just wanted to get clear in my head where I'm looking.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it is an area of growth and development, and every year we're going to track the sales to see what the impact is. But as of January 1st of 23, we didn't see a negative impact, but we'll continue to track it.
Right, because there is a commercial property being probably the biggest direct influence of traffic up Southridge that's being developed just catty corner to Southridge and 41st, just to the south. east, and that whole property is going to be commercial property, which is the biggest concern of mine, especially right off the freeway. And then the apartment complex, and then there's this proposed gas station and convenience store. But those are my concerns, is the commercial property and the traffic and the noise. And so anyway, well, thank you, Jennifer, for all that explanation. I've been still trying to gather as much information as I can from the website that that you have. And the other question I had on your website, is there a link or is there a access to the actual homes that are sold on the Benton County
website? We have, and I can email this to you. We have our link. Okay. It's our community website where you can search for your property, and there's a sales tab on there. And so it's a pretty nifty tool where you can have it show the recent sales, and it brings up that map with the different, with each of the homes flagged on the map. So you can look at those. So what I recommend you doing is moving forward, you know, when you get your change of value notice card for 2024, is looking at those sales for the previous year. So the 2023 sales, to see, you know, where things are landing. And that, you know, it gives you, so you can have a pulse on what's happening in your area.
Right. Thank you. Because I talked to the real estate agents, I talked to them, and my own personal driving that I went and looked around, drove around, and the website that I was referred to, I could not find that. I was told it was on there and that there's also filters on there, but I could not find that.
Oh, you know what I think it is? So you know where the filters are for the dates, by the year, by the price? There's a little checkbox. You have to click that checkbox. It says show recent sales.
Oh.
Once you click that checkbox, then the flags on the map appear and you can see where the sales are.
That's what it is. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I'll put that in my file here. All right. Well, I guess I've made my case. I appreciate your time and your help and your insight and information. So,
One question for you, Mr. Edwards. Are you there's a program in Benton County called the Senior Exemption Program. By any chance, are you over 61?
Not yet. I'm getting closer.
Okay. Well, okay. So you're not eligible just yet then. Okay.
I will be soon.
Okay.
Well, give us a call.
Well, you might want to check on it. You might want to check on it then.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to be on a fixed income here next year. So I appreciate that information.
Yeah, right now I think you would have to be earning less than $56,000 a year for this year's program. I think it goes up a little bit every year though.
Okay, well, I'll be real close to that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look into that. So Chuck, Peter, any questions?
No, I think it was a good discussion. I learned a little bit out of it myself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
No more questions. Anything? Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Anything further from you? Okay. Very well. Mary Lou, let's go ahead and close the hearing and we'll deliberate.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you. Good discussion, Jennifer.